Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm struggling to say the wrong thing, and I don't want to because I don't want to go, well, the Pacers can be a good wake-up call to get you ready for the Boston Celtics. I think the Celtics themselves are a wake-up call. I think everybody looks at the Celtics as a tough team that you're going to have to really get going against to have a chance to beat. So I think that that is already there. Like, it's not just, oh, they took it serious. They took it easily, and then they had to take the Pacers seriously, and then they'll be more ready for the Celtics. You'll be more ready because you're playing a better basketball team than you've been playing for the last four games. But I don't think that there's going to be any punch-in-the-face moment to go, whoa, this is... No. I think that the Pacers are the Pacers, the Celtics are the Celtics, and I don't think the Cavs are going to overlook the Pacers. I tell you this, from what he's saying about what Brian Geltzeiler was saying to us about the physicality of the postseason, this is going to be a very interesting physical series here. A very interesting, very physical series. I think that you and I are going to be coming in here Monday. I think that you and I are going to be... I think the Cavs are going to win the two games at home. I don't know what's going to happen over in Indianapolis, but I think that you and I are going to come in here going, oh my, this was a more of a wrestling match. You've said the term before. It's more of a wrestling match than we thought it was going to be. I think this is going to be tough.
Yeah, you know, it is part of the calculus you make in this series is you expect every series to get more physical. The Cavs will be. That will be jarring, I think, to the Cavs just for 10 minutes of game one. On Sunday, whether it's at 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock, is that it'll be 1,000 times more physical than Indiana. I mean, than the Miami series. Because that just wasn't physical. Like, even in the close game, even in the close moments at the end of game two in Cleveland, it wasn't physical. Like, at no point were guys getting screened to the ground, needing teammates to pick themselves up. You just didn't have that. I mean, the only thing you basically had was what? Darius Garland stubbing a toe? That was the extent of that. Your guys were never in harm's way. And Indiana knows the part of the book on the Cavs, and I don't know if Indiana can meet this, but part of the book on the Cavs has been that they've been soft. After that Knicks series 2 years ago, soft. The label was there. Everybody was calling the Cavs soft.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it wasn't so much that they were really, really soft. I know stuff was levied at Jared Allen in that series, and boy, Jared Allen's been spectacular. There's been no softness whatsoever. In fact, it's been the opposite. But that is still the book on the Cavs until they get over the hump. And what Brian did tell us last segment is true. Indiana does have more playoff experience. Outside of Tristan Thompson, all the next guys, and then Donovan Mitchell, but all the next guys that have more experience are Indiana. Because Indiana last year just went to the Eastern Conference Finals. You can call it a fluke run or whatever, but they did get there. And the Cavs didn't. Because they were on the wrong side of the bracket because they had Boston in the second round. So Indiana's not going to be afraid, and Indiana will be able to throw both you know, metaphorical punches, and I guess if they want to get real physical, if they want to get in the weeds, and they are deep, just like the Cavs are deep. Cavs are the better team. The Cavs are more talent. Donovan Mitchell should be the best player in the series. Evan Mobley could be the next best player in the series. Hell, if Darius has a great series, he could be the next best player in the series.
I think you're seeing a top-heavy conference. Cavs, Celtics. I think the Pacers are there, even though that their seeding
should
would not say it.
Yeah,
there should be. I think the Knicks have taken a step back, and maybe that's because of injury. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
I think that they've taken a, and I think that's going to get their fan base. Like if they're up 3-2 in that series, they played tonight, right?
They
should
play tonight.
They didn't play last night, so they play tonight. So they're up 3-2 in that series. I think already that's a little too close for comfort. If this becomes a 7-game series and this thing goes back to New York, I think their fan base is going to be really upset with Tom Thibodeau even more than they are right now. I think that some of the shine off of some of those players comes off for their fan base. I think it changes. Knicks fans to me are the Browns fans of the NBA. And I know the people, well, the Kings. The Knicks are an organization. They should be better than what they are. The Browns should be better than what they are. Their fan base is always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Hello. And I think that we're always waiting for a reason to be very angry with whoever's in charge. I think the Knicks fans are the same way. And I think that's part of the reason where I've always told you, if I died and came back, I guarantee I could be a very good Knicks fan. I've always kind of liked watching them, even though I've hated them at times as a Cavs fan. It just makes sense. So watching them against the Pistons has been very interesting. I think already they're at that spot. So you have, to me, a three-horse race. You just happen to be playing one of the horses. Because Boston, if they end up playing the Pistons, I think you've said it, you're just hoping that the Pistons start decking people. If it's Isaiah Stewart or anybody, the Pistons just start decking people, and it causes a problem with Boston. Physically could cause a problem with Boston because you're not going to give them a chance. I don't think I'm going to give New York a chance, even if they close it out.
I agree. Well, Boston is owned at New York.
Yes, especially, gosh, this year you are right about that. I think that the Pacers can give us a little bit of trouble. I think they can. I still see this being a 6-game series, but a 6-game series gives you a little bit of trouble, just like what I just said about the Knicks with the Pistons.
It's hard for me to see, and fans can say, don't overlook Indiana. I'm not overlooking them. I'm projecting.
Well, I think you're allowed to if you want to.
Yeah, the Cavs should beat them. if both teams are healthy, the Cavs should certainly beat them. And yeah, it's going to be tougher because anything is going to be tougher than what just happened in the Miami series. That's as easy a playoff series as maybe even LeBron has ever had. And LeBron's had some walkthroughs.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Cruise. This one was maybe even easier, and you saw it. Most lopsided playoff series in the history of the NBA playoffs.
I wanted to play this audio here. I'll get to LeBron later on, and plus there is a situation where a lame duck can be a very good thing. I said on Monday, and I got a lot of texts afterwards. I was getting some texts last week, and I put some things up the flagpole, you know, while the draft was going on, because I knew that we were going to take a running back. I didn't know we would take two running backs. And it made me wonder about Nick Chubb's future. And I'd love to see Nick Chubb with the Cleveland Browns. Now, I got it on good authority from several people, not in this city. And I said this, that I think that there's a team in the NFC North that is going very hard after Nick Chubb's services. A contender in the NFC North. But they all think they're contenders. We had Jason on. Jason threw a little bit of a tidbit out there. Now I think it's the quiet part is being said out loud, because I don't think that, frankly, I think that the top brass with the Chicago Bears won't shut up, and now it's been on ESPN with this. This is Lewis Riddick on Get Up talking about the Bears and a one Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb needs to go ahead right now and be beaten down the door of the Chicago Bears and saying, hey, look, I want to run behind this offensive line. I want to be a part of this. And Caleb Williams should be going, yeah, Nick, come play for us. Because think about this. Think about some of the people that we have on the perimeter now as far as us being able to stretch the field, attack every blade of grass. Not every team can just load the box and play 8-man fronts. So there's going to be space for anyone. And who's better at calling plays, depending upon how defenses are trying to play his offense, than Ben Johnson? So Caleb Williams, look, in year two right now, the sky's the limit for this young man.
So what I know, the Browns want to bring Nick Chubb back. And they are trying hard to bring Nick back. I know this. Okay? I also know, and you hear it from Lewis Riddick right there, the Bears, now they're going to make it public and they're going to go after him. They're beating down the door. I mean, if you got Lewis Riddick saying that, that means that somebody is telling them, hey, we want him really bad.
And so why are the Browns not doing that? Do they just not want Nick Chubb in that room? They want the rookies, the young guys to get the carries?
I wonder. Now, this is my theory. I don't know. I wonder if Nick sees the draft, because the Browns have to protect themselves. He is not signed. Now, they don't want to sign him for more than what they should sign him for. They don't want to be held to anything. That's just basically good business sense. But you also want him to be a part of the Cleveland Browns. So, yeah, maybe I think the Browns might be willing to overdo it a little bit for Nick Chubb, all right? Maybe a little bit, but not too terribly much to where it's obviously a stupid decision if he were to go anywhere else. I think that Nick would probably be, this is a theory, thinking about playing for a contender this year. We don't know what the Browns are going to be. We know that the Bears are throwing everything into their offense. From what they went to in the draft to what they went to last year in the draft, you can roll your eyes. And I think I take the Lions seriously. I take the Vikings seriously. The Packers I take pretty seriously. The Bears, I don't know if really the rest of the NFL knows what to do with, but you know there's something there. They got really good, young, talented players. I still think their offensive line is suspect. They address that in free agency. I don't think that's as easy as what some of my friends have told me it is. But they're going as all in as they possibly can over in Chicago. And they think that he could be a big piece for them. I think right now what Nick is thinking, there's a four-guy running back room right now if he signs. You have Sampson. You have Quinshon Judkins. You obviously have Jerome Ford. It was very interesting. Mary Kay said that there might be a possibility of a trade with Jerome Ford, which somebody brought up, like, who's going to offer for Jerome Ford? I think, first off, that people have been hard on Jerome Ford. I think he's been a little bit better than what we want to say he's been, because his name's not Nick Chubb. And anybody in the same backfield with Nick Chubb over these last 6-7 years was going to be overshadowed by the greatness of Nick. And that includes Jerome Ford. The other thing to it is that the Browns have traded once for Pierre Strong. You can get something for Jerome Ford, a fifth-round pick or something like that, to replace the fifth-round pick you traded Jerome Ford for. But you still don't know. While Nick looks great in the videos, you still don't know what you're getting back. And this could continue into the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, he looked good in videos last time.
That's a theory. He could sign by the end of the day, for all I know. But
Kenny, he looked good in videos last year before he started the season. And his yards per carry went from 5.5 to 3.1.
The only thing I can tell you with a hand raised in court, is that the Browns do definitely want him back and are making efforts to bring him back.
But did them taking the two rookies make it easy for Nick Chubb to go elsewhere?
It might have, but again, they have
to. So they kind of, if they really wanted Chubb, they shot themselves in the foot trying to get him.
But if they were going to bring Nick back, how long are they bringing Nick back for? I mean, these are two running backs that could play the next 4 years for you. You're hoping. Nick's a year-to-year basis now.
Mm-hmm.
After the foot injury last year, let's call it what it is. So the Browns, shooting yourself in the foot, especially in this situation, might not be the operative way to say it, but they have to protect themselves. But I can just tell you this. The Browns are serious about bringing him back. The Bears are very serious about bringing him in and are trying to make this push to bring him in. It's just going to depend on what's willing to offer more. I don't think if Nick were to take the offer to Chicago, he's always going to be beloved here. I think that everybody would love him to finish his career in Cleveland, but I still don't think a year in Chicago or 2 years in Chicago is going to change how he's seen by Browns fans or even by the organization long term. 216-474-0092.